Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Found Family. I have another special guest with me here today, Jayadaya Myra. We are going to be talking about the mind-body difference between mental illness, mental sickness, and mental health. Really important topic. Jayadaya Myra is known as the mind-body wellness expert and is the go-to media expert on mind-body wellness, stress management, mindfulness, food for mood, and naturally healthy living. She's a best-selling author, TEDx and motivational speaker, and creator of the Well Method. After healing herself naturally from debilitating fibromyalgia, Myra developed the Well Method to teach others the four cornerstones of a healthy, purpose-driven life. Her approach to mind-body wellness, spirituality, and purpose shows why one-size-fits-all solutions don't work for everyone and how to find what will work for you. Myra's debut book, Vibrational Healing, Attain Balance and Wholeness, Understand Your Energetic Type, is now published in 10 languages and is available worldwide. Her upcoming book, The Soul of Purpose, will be published October 2020 by Post Hill Press. Having the strong desire to give back, Myra is the founder and executive director of the 501c3 nonprofit organization, Gita for the Masses, teaching spiritual practices that promote conscious character development, interreligious dialogue, and interfaith harmony. Wow, what an absolute honor, Myra. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Of course. So the bio that you have shared is absolutely beautiful. It shares so much about the things that you are working on, your books and things like that, but I would love to dive deeper into sharing more with us about your story and your background. So when did you become a mind-body wellness expert? And if you could just share more about your story.
I guess that would depend on who you're asking, right? Because whenever someone says you're an expert in something, that really comes like down to perception. I mean, I'm hesitant to call myself an expert in anything just because I think even if you study something for 50 years, how are you really an expert? Because everything is so interconnected. But I've been doing this work for quite a while now, probably about the last 15 years or so. I have gained a lot of expertise on natural health and well-being, and I was able to heal myself naturally of really debilitating fibromyalgia when Western medicine failed. So the one thing that I learned is that even if you only know a tiny, tiny bit about something, like a grain of sand on the whole beach, that's what I felt that I knew at the time, I was still able to heal myself naturally of this debilitating disease that so many people worldwide suffer from. So that's why when I think about expertise, it's kind of like, I don't know that I can say I'm like truly an expert, but I do know ways for people to find solutions that are going to work for them and that it will work for you if you follow the step-by-step path.
That's beautiful. And I do agree in terms of that word expert. It's always a journey. And I love the way that you just described even, you know, having a little grain of sand in terms of, you know, resources available or knowledge. It's really being able to just take that and start the journey. And that's so beautiful. And what an incredible example of resilience that to be able to have overcome that, you know, naturally is incredible and so beautiful. And I really commend you.
It's about diving deep, I think. A lot of people, they may know a lot of things, but they'll tend to dabble in this and that as opposed to just taking one thing and doing a deep dive with it. So whenever you're really focused on something and you're committed to it and you stick with it, that's how you make a lasting, sustainable change. That's why I think you don't have to know everything there is to know in the world about something, but you have to know at least one thing really well.
Yes, that is absolutely so true. And that journey, even just, you know, as I was reading your bio and just, you know, reflecting on that on my own as well, I really had suffered from scrupulosity, which is an OCD subset associated with religion, as well as emetophobia, which is, again, under the OCD umbrella, which is crippling fear of throwing up either in public, hearing it, seeing it, mm-hmm. you know, getting that feeling. And in a very similar way, taking just the very, very limited knowledge that I had about all of those things, I was able to naturally heal myself as well. And I hadn't even at the time gone to therapy or anything like that. So being able to do that takes a great deal of courage and commitment. And it, as you said, like, it really does start with picking one at a time.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. And so this topic of mental health, it's, you know, very similar to sexuality in that it's on a spectrum. And so if you could talk to us a little bit more about what that spectrum looks like.
Definitely. This is one of my favorite topics because it's something that I don't think a lot of people have enough awareness about. They think you're either mentally well or that you're mentally ill, and that's completely not the case. Mental health truly is a spectrum of wellness to being unwell, and there's really very fine lines between being mentally unwell and being mentally ill. You can cross over from being mentally unwell into being mentally ill very quickly, and you can also cross back into that spectrum of being healthy very quickly if you have the right tools available. So every single day, we're exposed to so many different things and experiences and stimuli, and these all, like, leave an impression on us. And when people don't have the ability to clear this stuff out, whether it's through mindfulness or meditation or other practices or spiritual things that people are doing to help them stay focused on who they are and what's important to them, it's very easy to become mentally unwell with everything that we're exposed to on a daily basis. And so you've got to constantly work to clean the mind. Just like we digest food every day, like that's what our stomach and our intestines are for. We digest the food, we get the energy from it that we need, and then that gets eliminated, right? We need to do the same thing with our mind. You need to digest the thoughts and experiences that you're having, get the energy that you need from it, and then get rid of the rest of that debris. Otherwise, it's going to clutter everything up and cause you to get to a place of being mentally unwell and then eventually mentally ill.
Wow. What a powerful metaphor. And to use the human body as that metaphor and to really share how, as you said, if we're not, you know, disposing of all of that extra debris that's just not, you know, nourishing for our bodies that we don't need, it does back up and clog up. And to be able to, you know, really see it in that way, I think is just like this very powerful image to emphasize the importance of becoming more, you know, aware of how to, you know, really improve our mental health. And I agree. I mean, of course, on the spectrum, I think that when most people are sort of going through things, they think very much 0 or 100. And I think that is where, to your point, there is that sort of stigma associated with it. And so as a follow-up question, what is one of the most common stigmas associated with mental health issues?
I think the most common stigma is in the workplace or for people that are looking for a job. It's still highly stigmatized that if a potential employer knows that you're depressed, you have some form of mental illness, that is still going to be considered a detriment when you're trying to find a job or get a promotion in the workplace. So because money is crucial to our survival in this modern day and age, people just have gotten to the point where they don't disclose the stuff. They don't feel comfortable about speaking about this publicly because it can jeopardize your day-to-day livelihood. And that is so unfortunate because everyone needs someone that they can talk to. Everyone needs to have mental hygiene practices that they do on a daily basis, or we all will become mentally ill. That's just the way that it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's also where the importance of educating yourself and then putting that education into practice is so important, that whether, you know, we are picking one specific thing, you know, to get started on picking that sooner rather than later and being like more aware of all of this, it's only going to help you in the long run. And again, as you said, in the workspace, it is very unfortunate that I think people are also kind of like hesitant or shy away from even talking about things like this. But I think that one of the most powerful breakthroughs is going to be where we really welcome these kinds of discussions in the workplace, and even education, or, you know, people who come and speak about these things. And, you know, your TED talk that I watched a few weeks ago, like just being able to be in a position where we can bring this awareness and help to break these stigmas is going to be so, so important.
I completely, completely agree. Unfortunately, I think it'll be a while before we get there in the workspace. I know there's a lot more companies out there that are trying to be inclusive, but I work with companies. I do corporate trainings, leadership development, wellness, cultivation within the workspace. And it is such a difficult topic, but it's something I always try to bring attention to, that, hey, everyone here that is in your workforce, 100% of your employees, if they're not treated appropriately, if they're not valued, if they're not respected, if they're overloaded with work, this is going to cause mental health issues. This is the way that it is, and we really can't stigmatize it. So the number one thing I tell people to do is to have at least one person that you can talk with about everything that's going on with you, because basic things like talk therapy, even if you're not speaking with like a therapist or a trained counselor, this can help you to get that out of your system and unburden your psyche from what's going on. Just having a sounding board of someone who's listening to you, it's so helpful to get that out of your emotional state. If you don't get the stuff out of your mind, it's going to start causing problems with your physical health and your emotional health as well.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I try to encourage even, you know, friends and people at work that I am close with to be open and honest with me about things. And I try to help foster that kind of environment for people to be, you know, to feel safe, to be open. And couldn't agree more about the talk therapy. I mean, for me personally, I can agree with that beyond words can express, because I'm a very like vocal person, and I'm incapable of keeping everything in my mind. And journaling was also another thing that really helped me, especially as I was going through a lot of anxieties and depression as a child. And now just talking helps tenfold, even more than the writing does. And so I think
Absolutely.
That, you know, yeah, I think, you know, the big question of the hour is, you know, with the title that we talked about, what is the difference between mental illness, mental sickness, and mental health?
I would say it's all strongly connected to being happy with your life and living your purpose. The upcoming book that will be coming out next year called The Soul of Purpose is actually looking at all of those connections between spirituality, purpose, health, and well-being, and why purpose is so fundamental to it. But basically, whenever you are not utilizing your gifts, your talents, your strengths, you're going to be moving to this place of being more and more mentally unwell and eventually becoming mentally ill. So I would define mental health as a place where you're happy, you're healthy, you're confident, you know, you have the notion that you are capable of doing whatever it is that you want to accomplish. That is a place of mental health. When that starts to dip down to becoming mentally unwell is when you start lacking self-confidence, when you start thinking the worst for yourself, when you're not utilizing your talents and your strengths and your gifts, when you think that your life is not worthwhile. And if that keeps spiraling downward, that will get to a place of mental illness, to where that can be truly detrimental to your well-being, where you're making bad decisions, where you would say be clinically depressed or have anxiety, other issues, maybe even suicidal thoughts. And people just don't realize how easy it is to eliminate that negativity in life when you're doing things that make you happy and when you utilize your talents and your gifts. I think we put those things on the back burner because of the way we're forced to live our life and make a living, go out and get a job, which is not necessarily inclined with the things that you want to do. And so the things that actually fulfill us, they get pushed to the back and they get eliminated in some people's life completely. So whenever you want to get back to that place of being mentally well, you have to start doing these things each and every day that you enjoy and that you're good at, even if it's just one thing that you do consistently every single day that's for your mental health and your emotional well-being. When you cultivate these consistent habits, that's going to help you to break the bad habits and the bad patterns that are keeping you in a place of being mentally unwell. Like the longer that you stay there, it becomes habitual and it's more difficult to get out of, because anything that's become a habit, it means those neurons are wiring and firing together. So you actually have to expend energy to create new neural connections in the mind. This is why getting out of that place is difficult when you've been there for a while. But when you're doing something consistently, step by step, day by day, you actually are building those positive neural connections that are going to overwrite all of that old negative stuff. And that's going to help you to get well, to stay mentally well, and to cultivate that place of mental health.
That's beautiful and so concisely said. I'm sitting here like nodding and just absolutely loving the way in which you helped to, again, paint this picture. And I'm so excited to hear, you know, feedback from people who will be listening to this episode about how that this is resonating with them. And just to share, you know, how this personally is resonating to me right now, I'm remembering a time right before I started Found Family Podcast where I was actually let go from my job, and I was not depressed because of losing the job, because truthfully I knew that that wasn't really where I saw myself long term. It wasn't something that I wanted to be doing for the long term. I was depressed because I didn't know what my skills and strengths could lead to as a next step, period. And so I was definitely in this headspace for, you know, hours and hours a day of, I don't know what to do next. I'm worthless. I'm helpless. I'm not good at anything. Like, it kept going back to that. And the more
It's so easy to go back to that place. Like, anything like negative happens, I mean, that is where the mind is going to go. If something negative happens to us, there's been science that shows it takes 7 good things to eliminate that one negative thing. Can you imagine that? One negative thing's happened, you have to have 7 good things happen before you forget the impact of that one negative thing, because that's where the mind tends to go, because that negative aspect is also connected with our subconscious mind, and our subconscious runs about 70% of everything that we're thinking and doing. We don't even know that it's happening because it's subconscious, but 70% of our actions all come from the subconscious space. And that tends to be linked to the negative things that are happening in life, because we all have negative experiences pretty much every day. And unfortunately, not everyone has a positive experience every single day unless you take the time to focus on it. So it's that bad stuff that stays with us. We have to put so much work in, like, just to focus on the positive, even if they're just little things. That's why I say create a daily habit of doing something that you love. Like, I love waking up and having a cup of tea every morning. That's a wonderful wellness routine. Tea actually has a lot of compounds in it that help promote focus and clarity and making you feel better and relieving stress. So it's helping my health, and it's also helping my mental health. And because it's become a daily habit, it's become a self-care ritual that I know that this is what I'm going to do when I wake up. And because the mind likes consistency, it always craves, like, for that consistency and that discipline so that it knows what's coming. It's comforting to the psyche. It helps prime the day for another level of success. And people underestimate all the time, like, the small, simple things you do are what are going to make or break your success. It's never in the large things. It's in the small things that you choose to do or not do on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing all of that. And the statistic is truly baffling. I had gone to like a trivia game with roommates that I was living with. And I think the number is like 80% people complain, like, 80% more than they do talk about positive things, or you know, I don't remember like the exact like number, so don't quote me on this, but it was basically saying that we as a society, we spend more time thinking about negative things, and we actually find like connectiveness with people. You know, if you're waiting in line and it's taking forever and you're like, oh, this sucks, I can't believe I've been on the line for 20 minutes, you find like connection by complaining about things. And it's like the easiest way for our brains to kind of stay stuck in that space, because we are craving connection, but we're going about it the wrong way sometimes. And I did also hear the same kind of statistic and facts about how it takes so many more positive thoughts to override a negative thought, and how that negative thought will stay with us for a longer period of time. And when you're really in that headspace, again, like I was super depressed, and for a full week, all I was thinking about is how I didn't know what was next, and that I wasn't good enough of a person because I had no goals or plans. And it took one moment of me sort of reaching that breaking point in after that week, where I said, you know what, Lizzie, I'm being annoyed of listening to you complaining. Something needs to be done. And so I sat down at my desk and I took out a pen and a paper and I wrote down a list of all of the things that I love about myself and that are my strengths, whether it was just, you know, interpersonal skills or things that I know that I'm good at from previous jobs. And that was what propelled me to all of the things that I'm doing right now. So like 1 week after that incident, I started Sound Family Podcast. Shortly after that, I registered to become a certified life coach. A week after that, I got a freelance job working as a recruiter. So it took that, you know, taking the phases that you just shared and like working it backwards. So I felt like I had gotten to that mental illness state of mind where I was like so down in the dumps. You know, I was having like, and this sounds really dark, but just being vulnerable, like got to a point where I remembered the depression that I had a few years ago, where like suicidal thoughts and very, very negative thinking patterns were at the surface, and then rewound it, you know, kind of stepped back into that, the mental sickness at phase, and then took steps to get to the mental health space. But it really started with, as you were sharing earlier, just, you know, really taking notice of the things that make me feel good, make me happy, and basically I had to take myself out of that cycle and start including things in my day-to-day, like empowering myself with things I know I'm good at to break that cycle.
Absolutely. It takes effort to get to where you want to be, but it also takes effort to get to a place of being mentally ill. And people don't think about that.
Right.
You're making choices every single day which are either supporting your mental health or being mentally unwell. So it takes effort to go in either direction. So why not put the effort into something that you know is going to make you feel good, as opposed to just lingering on those feelings that come up for everyone of, hey, I'm not good enough, I don't have what I need to succeed. Everyone goes through that at some point, and if they tell you that they don't, they're lying. So why not just take the time to focus that energy and redirect it back to something that is going to be beneficial for you? Because you're going to be expending energy either way. So it might as well be for something that is improving your life and making you feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so we've talked a little bit at the beginning about the well method that you've developed. Can you talk to us a little bit about what the well method is and how you use it to help others?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going into an in-depth look in the well method in my upcoming book, The Soul of Purpose. But basically, I'm using the word well, W-E-L-L, as an acronym for four cornerstones of holistic living that are going to help you to fulfill your purpose and also live a happy, healthy, and successful life. So the well method is really looking at four basic things. So the W stands for work-life harmony. I use the word harmony and not balance because I don't think anyone's life is ever truly in balance. It's about making things be very synergistic with each other. So that two things, instead of 1 + 1 = 2, maybe it's 1 + 1 = 5. Like, what kind of things can you do in your life that they're synergizing each other mind, body, and spirit to improve other aspects of your life. So this, it really forces the mind to think about, hey, what am I doing? How is this choice affecting me, say, not only physically, but also mentally and emotionally? Like, let's say I'm hungry. Am I going to go grab a bag of chips out of the pantry, or maybe I'm going to go get a bowl of blueberries out of the fridge, right? So if I get those chips versus those blueberries, how is this going to affect me physically? Beyond that, how is it going to affect me mentally and emotionally? So food has very powerful connections to everything that's going on with us psychologically and emotionally, which I also talk about in that upcoming book. But this is the same for everything that we experience in life. Every decision we make affects you mind, body, and spirit. Even if you're only thinking about it affecting one aspect of your life, it's actually affecting everything. So what kind of decisions can you make that are going to be beneficial to the whole you and not just a tiny piece of you? So that's like where that W comes into place, like work-life harmony. What are you doing to balance everything? And also, like, what are you doing to facilitate better harmony in the workplace? Meaning, what's important to you? What do you value in life that would be really awesome if, like, you could talk with your employer or your supervisor or your boss and make sure that you got that? Being in management for many years, I have found that a lot of times employees don't really know what they want. But if someone can articulate what it is that's valuable to them, that's the first step in getting something that's going to make your life a little bit more fulfilling and meaningful, right? Like, we've all got different goals. Maybe for some people, it's a mom who wants to be at home with her kids in the afternoon or wants the ability to work remotely once or twice a week, or needs to be able to commit to going to a recital or a sports practice at certain days and certain times. The more that you're clear about the things you want, the easier it is for you to get. And then by having those attainable goals, you can actually work towards them and accomplish them. It's no longer just some vague concept or idea. It becomes something actionable and attainable. So how are you going to, like, harmonize your life in a way that's going to be beneficial for you? And also, like, dealing with that W, the work-life harmony, what is actually important to you? What would make your work life better? And how can you articulate that and communicate that and get to a point to where you get what you want? So that's, I would say, that's the first leg of the well method. And I can't tell you, being a manager, how many people don't do that. And if they did, you would stand a chance of getting the things that you value. If an employer is that callous to not be able to treat you as an actual human resource, not just another cog in the wheel, maybe it's time to start looking for a different job anyway.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And having been working in, you know, the staffing and recruiting space and just working even in-house as a recruiter and talking with people and seeing very similar things, I agree and think the same way. It really is wild.
No, and we have the millennial workforce and the Gen Z to thank for this, because they're starting to demand more wellness amenity for companies to stay competitive. Like, if companies want to hire the best people out of college, they have to offer these lifestyle perks now. I mean, if a company doesn't want to be competitive, do whatever you want. But companies that are leading edge, like technology firms, startups, other companies that are trying to stay ahead of the curve, they know they have to start offering flexible amenities to employees so that they can keep and train and retain the best talent.
Definitely. Yeah, and I'm so grateful for seeing a lot of the companies that I've either personally worked for or that some of my candidates have working for, to see that this shift is happening is great, and it's very exciting. So I look forward and hopefully that this, you know, trend will continue and really putting that emphasis on ensuring that people are getting, like, the right time and the right attention and the resources. Like, I know that the company that I work for, they have a personal development budget. At the end of every year, you sort of accumulated money that you can actually put towards going to seminars or, you know, buying books or something like that. And that is so beautiful, and it's such a refreshing thing to see. And I'm just so grateful that exists.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's only just like one cornerstone of the WELL method. Like when you get to the E, that stands for expect excellence.
Mm.
So you can either succumb to your weaknesses or you can expect excellence in yourself each and every day and accomplish things you would never have dreamed possible. Because literally wherever your mind is focused on is what you are going to be able to attain and accomplish. So if you're constantly pushing yourself to be better, to meet your goals, to reach the goals that you set for yourself, you are going to keep improving each and every day. And that's going to help you to feel better about yourself, to have a positive mentality, positive emotions, and really keep you mentally and emotionally stable.
Absolutely. And the two L's?
So the two L's come down to live your purpose and view life from a perspective of love and not fear.
Oh,
so purpose, intrinsic connections to health and well-being, because the same things that create your purpose are the exact same things that create your entire body, your physical body structure, your personality, your temperament, your strengths, your talents, your weaknesses. All of these come from the same place. So when you're not living your purpose and you're not utilizing your innate talents and strengths, it's going to be detrimental to your mental, emotional, and physical health because they all come from that same source fabric that has created everything in reality. And when you are utilizing your strengths and your talents, you're going to help to make like your physical body, your mental state, your emotional state stronger and healthier because everyone is put here for a reason. We all have a purpose. We all have talents and gifts, and it's up to you to use those strengths so that you can accomplish your purpose, be happy and fulfilled, and help other people in process. So literally nothing about a person is accidental. Everything is 100% intentional, and you are given exactly what you need to succeed. So when you're living your purpose, you are literally synergizing everything, mind, body, and spirit, to start working with each other and supporting everything that's going on in your life.
Wow. I completely agree. And again, so beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing. And in terms of next steps that our listeners can take, what would you say are some that we can implement and start taking action even today towards improving our mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing is to cultivate a daily habit doing something that you enjoy doing that's just for you. So that means nothing that your spouse might want you to do or nothing that's going to benefit your kids if you have kids. Take at least 15 to 20 minutes a day to do something that is just for you that you enjoy. Like maybe that's my morning tea routine, you know. A lot of people find a lot of joy in doing something simple like that. Maybe it's taking time to go take a bath or to sit with your favorite book or to go for a walk or maybe jump on a call with a good friend. Take a little bit of time every day to prioritize you. We often put ourselves on the back burner, and you can't do that when you want to stay mentally healthy. You have to make yourself the priority because no one else is going to make you a priority. This is
absolutely
up to you. And if you want to teach yourself and your kids to value themselves and to have self-confidence, live as an example of that and make that time and that space for you because that example is going to be the best lesson for everyone around you.
100%. And I feel like I can hear some of the voices that might be going right now, like, oh, I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be seen as selfish. You know, I certainly want to share those who might be thinking those things. You're not being selfish. You are not thinking selfishly. You are not being selfish. You are not a selfish person. 100% agree with what you just shared. It is absolutely a priority. And the best, you know, visualization that I get is when, you know, when you're on the plane and you're being told to put on your own mask before you help other people, like it is the same thing. And to all of the points that you just made, it is absolutely crucial that we take care of our mental health because it does affect the body and affects so many other things. And then it will in turn affect others. And so we really have to be very proactive in figuring out what things do make us happy in order to ensure that those things don't get out of hand.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we always want to do everything we can for the people around us, But that becomes a karmic cycle. So if this is what your friends, your spouse, your kids see you doing, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to constantly just be trying to help other people and not prioritizing themselves. It's like, hey, you want the best, like, for your kids and your family, but then they're learning by your example and they're going and helping everyone else but themselves. And then this perpetuates itself from generation to generation to generation. So the best thing that you can do, not just for yourself, but for everyone around you, is to make yourself the priority, because you're the only one who ultimately knows what it is that you need to succeed. And you need to communicate that and live that every day in your life. And taking 15 minutes a day to prioritize you does not make you selfish or greedy or any. It actually makes you a more compassionate, caring individual, because you can set really clear and appropriate boundaries.
Yes, that word boundaries, absolutely. Couldn't agree more, 100%. And thank you so much for sharing that. That is so beautiful to hear, and so empowering to really feel all of these truths. And for our listeners to feel more equipped, you know, we're sharpening our tools and we're adding more into the toolbox and being able to now understand from a more 360 viewpoint kind of what the differences is between all of this, and understanding more about the mind-body connection. This has been truly wonderful, and it is, again, such an honor to have you here. I'm going to share the link to Myra's book. Again, it's called Vibrational Healing, Attain Balance and Wholeness, Understand Your Energetic Type. I'm so excited to read that. I'm actually putting together a list of the books that I'm going to be reading in 2020, and I'm adding your book to the list. I would love to have you again as a guest speaker to be the guest author to talk more in depth about the book, if you are open to that. And I'm looking forward to hearing more information about the Soul of Purpose that's coming out in October. It's super, super exciting.
Absolutely. Actually, we've decided to move the publication date to January 21, 2021.
Oh, okay.
So it fits with the whole new year, new you thing. You know, with the presidential elections and everything, October was a horrible time to release that type of book. So I negotiated with the publisher, and, you know, we got the publication date moved to something that's a little bit more appropriate for the topic.
Oh, perfect. That's wonderful. Yeah. And I know that we had connected over there, so I'll be sure to include your Twitter account. Fam, please go and share all of your love and support. I'm going to have links again to her book and to other social media. I know that you have a YouTube channel as well, and there's the TED Talk that you have spoken on, and I'll be sure to include that link as well. Are there any other links that you'd like for our listeners to tune into so that we can go and support you?
I would say just follow on social media. I'm very easy to find. Everywhere is just at Jaya Myra. My website is jayamyra.com. So that is where you will find me online. Definitely follow my social channels, because you are apt to get things on there much more quickly than on my email list or website or other things. I'm very regular on social media and do all sorts of, like, special contests and giveaways and other promotional things on there.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, thank you again so much. This has been such reads. Very, very grateful. And I hope that you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Have an awesome rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family, or if you share on social, be sure to tag me at Coach Lizzie.